Matthew chapter 8, as we prepare to take the supper this evening. Matthew chapter 8, beginning at verse 5. And as we begin to read this chapter, I would ask you a question. Do you have great faith? Do you have great faith? What is great faith? What is your concept of great faith? As people look at you, would they say you have great faith? I believe many of us do not understand what great faith is. If you don't understand what it is, you can't know if you have it or not. But this passage defines what great faith is. Hear the word of God, Matthew 8, verse 5. And when he had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, entreating him, and saying, "Sir, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering great pain." And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not qualified for you to come under my roof. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to this one, 'Go,' and he goes. And to another, 'Come,' and he comes. And to my slave, 'Do this,' and he does it." Now when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following, "Truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. And I say to you that many shall come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom shall be cast out into the outer darkness. In that place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way. Let it be done to you as you have believed." And the servant was healed that very hour. Let us pray. Help us, O Lord, to understand this passage and its teaching about faith, the faith that saves, and trust in Jesus Christ. We pray in his blessed name. Amen. Very few of us would have the arrogance to say that I have great faith. Some perhaps might. Usually when we use that term, we mean a person who has done perhaps great works for the Lord, or led a life that is obviously Christian, or always an encouragement, always an encourager, a person who does not seem to go through the fits and starts and ups and downs that the rest of us seem to go through at times. A person with great faith. A person whose quality of faith is great. And we admire them. When our Lord entered Capernaum, a centurion, a Roman citizen, a Gentile, came and bowed down before him, entreating him. The Gospel of Luke says that the Jewish leaders told Jesus that this man was a God-fearer, that he believed in the God of Israel, and that he actually had built the synagogue in Capernaum for the Jewish people. So he was a man who had some understanding of the God of Israel, but he was still an outsider as far as the people of Israel, the covenant people of God, was concerned. No one would think of this man as having great faith because he did not have any rights as far as the people of Israel were concerned, to the sacrifices and to the worship of Israel in the best way. Our Lord taught that this man had a greater faith, though, than the people of Israel, than any he had come into encounter with in Israel. In fact, in verse 11 and 12, he said that many of the sons of the kingdom, that is, the people of God, the Jewish people, to whom belong the covenants and the promises, that this man would sit at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven as a covenant member of the kingdom of God, while many of the Jewish people to whom belong the covenants and the promises would be cast into the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. So the Jewish people looked at this centurion and thought, well, here's a man who's getting in by the hair of his chin. Jesus looked at this man and said, he has a greater faith than the Jewish people to whom I came, any that I've met to this time. If we would know what great faith is, we need to examine this man's faith so that we can figure out if we have it or not. This man came to Jesus with concern for his servant in verse 6. It must have been a beloved servant who was lying paralyzed at home, suffering great pain. And our Lord listened to this man and said to him, I will come and heal him. Basically, the centurion said, it's not necessary for you to come, just heal him. And there are two reasons the centurion told Jesus that it was not necessary for him to come. The first reason was because he himself was unworthy. Here is a man who supposedly has great faith, a greater faith than anyone in Israel. But when he looked at himself and he understood his spiritual condition, he saw himself as such a sinner and so unworthy of the presence of one like Jesus Christ that he did not want our Lord to go to any trouble at all for him. And that he did not even want the Lord to come in under his roof, lest the Lord himself perhaps be defiled by his presence and his home. Great faith has a right view of self and a right view of Christ. It does not have arrogance mixed in it. It does not say, I have great faith, and therefore I am better and stronger than another. Great faith looks upon itself as Paul did at the end of his life when he said, I am the chief of sinners. I am not worthy for the Lord to even enter into my house, much less answer my prayer. Do you have such a faith? Do you believe that your sins are so odious to a holy and good God that any one of them that he picked out in your entire life would be worth nothing in his eyes but destruction and death? God is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity, the Old Testament says. He is so good that he hates all sins, no matter how big, no matter how small, no matter how many you overlook and say, well, everybody sins a little. God brings all to judgment. And the Lord Jesus Christ had to shed his blood for any and every one of the most insignificant sins that we commit against a God who is holy and good. This man understood how unworthy he was of any of God's mercy, presence, and blessings. And that was the foundation of his great faith. Do you have such a faith? The second aspect of his faith that was great was this. He believed in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to do what he promised to do. That is an element of great faith. Great faith trusts in the Lord's willingness and power to do what he says he will do. And the man understood this very well, that Jesus Christ had authority to do whatever he wants to in the earth. And he understood it this way. He said to the Lord, I'm a centurion. I'm a man under authority. I have bosses over me. And I have soldiers under me. And because I have authority, I tell this one, go and do this. And he does it because I have authority. And I say to another, come and do this. And he does it. And he comes. And then he said to the Lord Jesus Christ, in these words, you might say, you have greater authority than I do. You don't have to come into my house, Lord, for I'm unworthy for you to come to begin with. If you will just speak and heal my servant, he will be healed. Because you have greater authority than I do. Great faith trusts in the authority of Jesus Christ to do what he promises to do. It lives upon that. Jesus said, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. And the strange statement of verse 10 is this, that Jesus marveled at the man's faith. I don't quite understand that because he knew what was in all men. But I guess because he knew what was in all men, that he marveled that he could find any faith in men. And he called this great faith. Do you have great faith? Here's what great faith does in terms of salvation. It looks at itself and concludes, I am unworthy of any of God's blessings because I have transgressed his laws and offended his goodness. I am unworthy of anything from God. Great faith is glad to have anything from God. And great faith, secondly, believes that Jesus Christ is not only able to do anything with his authority and power upon earth, but he is able to do anything for you. And that if he says, if you will come unto me, if you will look unto me and be saved, I will save you. If you will come to me, I will not cast you out. If you will repent, I will forgive you. If you will believe, I will cleanse you and grant you the gift of eternal life. For he that believes in me shall have eternal life and has already passed out of death into life. And will not come under judgment. Great faith takes Jesus Christ at his word. If you need forgiveness and he bids you come, and you come, then you believe he has granted you forgiveness. If you need eternal life and he promises it to all who come, and you have come, you take him at his word and believe in his authority and power to save you, and you rest there. And in terms of sanctification, the holy life that he's called us to live, great faith comes to him and says at the end of the life, as well as at the beginning, I am still the chief of sinners. I am saved by grace through faith still today, after all these years of walking in your ways and of loving you and seeking to keep your commandments. I still am unworthy, O Lord, of anything from you except by your favor and grace. And I believe that when you promise that you who have begun a good work in me shall bring it to completion in the day of Christ Jesus. I shall depend upon that and believe it. Because you see, great faith always looks upon oneself as unworthy and always looks upon the Lord Jesus Christ as faithful. And so what happened to this centurion who was ignored by the Jewish people as a God-fearer, but not quite in the covenant people of God, who perhaps was feared even as a Gentile and Roman soldier? Jesus looked upon this man saying, I've not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. And then he said in verse 13, go your way, let it be done to you as you have believed. Be it done to you as you have believed. Do you believe that I have healed your servant? Be it done to you. Do you believe that I receive sinners and forgive them? Be it done to you. Do you believe that I cause all things to work together for good to those who love me and who are called according to my purpose? Be it done to you. Do you believe that I will never leave you or forsake you? Be it done to you. Do you believe that I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also? Be it done to you according to your faith. Be it done unto you. Great faith is not the faith of warriors who have gone through many battles and of wise old heads that we look up to as in a different category. Great faith is the faith that looks little in oneself and all in Christ and has the blessings for it. Has God planted such faith in your heart? Do you believe that you're unworthy for Him to come to your house today? That's great faith. Do you believe that He has integrity and power to keep His promises to you? The promises of eternal life, the promises of His daily care? That is great faith. And you didn't have anything to do with it. It was a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So it's okay to say you have it. Great faith is faith in a great Savior. Let us pray.